I'm looking forward this month. First and foremost, the Holy Spirit. Secondly, myself and DL. With the Holy Spirit prayerfully preaching through us, we're going to address what many of you have heard termed as Acts of the Disciples. But what I prefer to have you redirect and better understand as Acts, the book of Acts, Acts of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we get caught up in getting an understanding of the Holy Spirit and looking for the manifestations, looking for aspects of tongues and miracles and healings and things of that nature. I'm hoping to kind of redirect you just a touch. Amen? So like I said, it's going to get wild in here. Not sure where we're going with this yet. Been reading a book for the second time that I've really enjoyed. Parts of it, not all of it. I often take books and will grab pieces and find some really relevant information. Then there's other pieces where I go, come on. And it's Francis Chan's Crazy Love. Really been a good read. And he quotes this verse. Let me open in prayer. Prepare us, Lord, to hear from you. As I always ask, get me out of the way. Any of my words, trash them. But Lord, what you have to say to this body of believers, may it be said, may it be heard, and may it be acted upon. May they not leave this place feeling guilty, but instead leave this place feeling empowered by you to do your will, to seek your face, and to fall deeper in love with you. And all God's people said. I don't have all the verses up here. I have a few relevant ones, but if you guys could turn to John chapter 16. Many of you have got digital. Some of you have got Bibles. If your friend next to you has a Bible, share with them. Feel free to look over. It's okay. So take your time. Get to John, Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, beginning of the New Testament. Okay? You got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I have a story that will. A story about a man named Jesus Christ. So if we're in the Gospel of John, we're going to look at chapter 16, and we're going to go down to 7, verse 7. I'm reading out of the NIV. Very truly I tell you, and we talked about this during communion. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Amen. I have much, much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And the Holy Spirit comes, and he has come. I want you guys to start grabbing hold of that. And I'm going to quote from Crazy Love now. It says, the disciples must have been shocked. They must have been shocked at the idea that it was for their good that Jesus was leaving. What could possibly be better than having Jesus by your side? Wouldn't you rather have Jesus physically walking next to you all day than having the seemingly elusive Holy Spirit living in you? Our view, folks, our view of the Holy Spirit is too small. The Holy Spirit is the one who changes the church. But we have to remember that the Holy Spirit lives in us. It is individual people living Spirit-filled lives that will change the church. End quote. So, reason for my blade. Benji talked about swords, about facilitating them, often for incorrect reasons, yeah? Yeah. Big fan of a guy named Peter in Scripture. Have been for a long time. So often identify with him. And Randy laughs out loud. Peter's walked with Christ for a number of years, right? Peter gets done at the Last Supper. And what's he say? What's he say to Jesus? Jesus says, man, you guys are going to be denying me. You're going to be leaving me. You're going to be running. Pete says, not this cat. This guy's not going anywhere. And I could see me saying that. Can you see you saying that? No, but, yeah, Gary right away. Gary'd be the first one. I'm not going anywhere. I got this. That's why Gary identifies with Peter. I do. That's why Gary and Dave get along so well. So we find ourselves hanging out in the garden, right? Jesus is in prayer. He's just asking. He's just asking. Please, just be in prayer. Peter's walked with Jesus for a few years. Don't you think that Pete would have gotten it? Pete would have connected with the message that Jesus was consistently proclaiming, the gospel according to Jesus. Don't you think Pete would have gotten an understanding of what was going on? Couldn't even pray. Now Peter's in this garden when they come to get Jesus. The correct response, Jesus has prepared him, right? Hey, man, I'm going away. He's told him. He's not. It really shouldn't be that big of a surprise. Peter acts differently, doesn't he? There was one of the ushers, Bill, I think it was. Bill offered for me to chop off his ear as long as I could put it back. Did Bill leave? Peter responded in an incorrect way. He responded with concern. He responded with what he believed to be right. He responded in defense of his rabbi, of his master. But it doesn't seem to be what he was being taught. While he was still speaking, we're going to go to Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 53. I'm not getting weird. I'm just not a big fan of knives, so that's about it for that example. That gives you guys time to get to Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 53. While he was still speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus asked him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When Jesus' followers saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" Peter didn't ask, did he? The other disciple, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" Peter's like already at it. Right, Gary? And one of them, who we know as Peter, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. Here's a news brief. Let's see if Gary will confirm this. Gary, was he going for his ear?
Absolutely not. A couple inches lower.
Yeah, he wasn't going for his ear. Peter was going to take this guy out. But Jesus answered, "No more of this. No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard, and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts, and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." So we see a impulsive Peter. We see a Peter who believes that he's doing the right thing. We see a Peter who is really acting in his own strength, isn't he? He's acting in his own strength. And the results of his acting in his own strength lead us to Luke chapter 22, still, but a little bit further down, we're going to go 54 through 62. And we're going to take Peter, his impulsiveness, his fear in the garden, his willingness to take somebody out to kill them after following the Prince of Peace for that many years, willingness to kill them in defense of Jesus. He wasn't getting the story, and he's acting in his own. And that fear in the garden leads to what he absolutely promised. Is that a nice way to put it? At dinner earlier, absolutely promised. "That's not going to happen with me, Lord." Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl. That's relevant. Get that term. A servant girl. Not somebody high up in the food chain. And not negating anyone. But there's a relevance here. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, and I have a feeling it wasn't a quiet reply. It could have been. "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Peter's reply, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. He's on his own. He's acting on his own. He's working in his own strength, in his own power. Peter is empty. Peter has spent years walking with Messiah. And he's heard the words. Peter's empty. And Peter has probably never been emptier. Probably maybe one other point in his life that we're going to get to that he's ever felt emptier. And it states he went outside and wept bitterly. We've been there, haven't we? Have we been there walking with the Lord and felt that maybe we somehow missed it? Maybe we acted on our own? That's why my hopes for this month is that you hear what it means to be filled with His Spirit. Now there's restoration, right? The story continues on. For those of you that don't know, the story continues on. Jesus is taken. He's taken for the beatings. He's for you and I. He's taken to be accused and tried. And it goes from the accusals and the trials to the beatings, to the carrying of the cross, to the nailing to the cross for you and I. And then to the resurrection. Raised again from the dead for you and I. So that we might realize resurrection. So Jesus is now back. He's returned. He's gone through what he knew the Father needed him to do. And now he's standing on the beach. And Pete and the boys are out fishing because they pretty much figure they got nothing else. They might as well go back to fishing. And Jesus calls from the beach, "You catch anything?" And like all of you fishermen out there, your response typically is, especially Dan Geis, "Nope." Jesus says, "How about you flip the net to the other side of the boat?" And them boys knew. Them boys knew immediately who was hollering from the beach. And they got back quick, didn't they? And Pete had to go through a process of restoration. See, restoration is possible. You might think that you're beyond that, but you're not. Restoration is possible. It was for Peter, and it is for you and me. And Jesus took Pete through that restoration process and began to rebuild the one he promised he would build the church upon. And that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Restoration, rebuild, takes us quickly to Acts 1:8. Who knows it? Who knows it? Acts 1:8. Is it up there? Boom! Look at that. You all knew it, didn't you? You guys are amazing. I want you to read it with me. Okay? We're going to start with Acts 1:8. We'll read through it and we'll say, "Amen. So be it."
Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem
Do you agree with that? Do you guys agree with that truth? You said amen. You agree with it. Are you living like it? Wow, it got quiet.
Trying
is good. I like that. Trying is good. But you will receive power. You will. It's not just for Peter and for John and for Paul. It's for Mike, Shelley, Kim, Brian, Kevin, John, Jim, Judy, Carol, Janae, Sue, Gary, all of you. Just kind of pulling out names. Yes, Dan Geist, even for you. I'm picking on him all day. That's because I love him dearly. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. See, the church has kind of taken us in a different direction with that. And we get a little, sometimes we stand back a little bit when somebody starts talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sent to live within you so that you understand, so that you live, so that you have strength to proclaim His story, His message, so that God receives the glory. Turn to Acts 3. Here's where it begins, slowly, for our brother Pete. Acts 3, verse 3. Pardon me. Acts 3, starting at verse 1. That's what I get for old man glasses. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. 3 in the afternoon. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, or as would Randy or Gary or Mike or Dave. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, guys, have we ever said this? "Silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. 9 times out of 10, this is where the church stops. This is where they focus. Look at the gift. Look at the miracle of healing. That was amazing, wasn't it? How about we look at the point? How about we look at the point? While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. The point was Jesus. The point was
Jesus.
Thank you. Let me do it one more time. The point was
Jesus.
Wasn't this guy speaking right here? Just a while back in the Gospel of Luke, wasn't he the chicken meeting a rooster? Who's he talking to here? Out in public? The whole group, where's that coming from?
Holy Spirit.
It's starting, isn't it? Indeed, beginning with Samuel, all the prophets who have spoken have foretold these days, and you are heirs. So we're starting to see a different Pete. Let's get into Acts 4 and see this man take off. And know that if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be able to proclaim the name. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will proclaim the name. Amen?
Amen.
So here comes not a little servant girl, or just some stranger around a fire. Here comes what we today would kind of see as, you know, a lot of times, I think that we could do a comparative to, you know, the police captain and the mayor and maybe some senators and others coming in to question us about what we're doing and why we're doing it, even here at Warehouse, kind of calling us to task, you know? Peter's before the Sanhedrin, the priests, and the captain of the temple guard, and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed. So the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Not bad for a chicken before the rooster, but he's filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not Pete. It's the Holy Spirit working through him. Grasp that. And ask to be filled. Grasp that and ask daily to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The next day, the rulers, the elders, and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas, the high priest, was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? And Peter turned in fear and said, wait, I don't think it reads that, does it? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. It's a different understanding of being filled with the Spirit. There is a realization of who's to be glorified, of who's to be lifted up. There's an ability that the Holy Spirit works through you to clearly proclaim His name wherever you are and to see Him glorified. And that's what I pray for all of you this month, is that you'd come to a realization of when the Holy Spirit is living within you. And personally, I believe if you've asked Him to live within you, He doesn't leave. I do believe that we lose sight of the fact that He's living there. And I would ask you that you would ask Him to awaken you, to bring you into a realization of His presence, and that you would stand strong for the gospel of Jesus Christ in love and in grace. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that You fill us with Your presence to overflowing, to an awareness of You, and that You, Lord Jesus Christ, our King, are glorified, are worshipped, and adored as You deserve. That this body of believers, with the Holy Spirit living through us, would be world changers, acting in Your power. And it's in Your name that we ask this, Lord Jesus Christ, our King. And everybody said,